In the story, we heard about Thomas, and Thomas is famous. Does anyone know what Thomas is famous for? He's often called something. Yep.
He's normally called Thomas the Doubter.
Thomas the Doubter, or Doubting Thomas, yes. And it's maybe a bit unfair. I mean, the reason he's called Thomas the Doubter, or Doubting Thomas, is because when Jesus died, and then he came back to life again, people saw him, saw Jesus alive, and he told Thomas, but Thomas thought, that can't be true. And imagine if someone came to you and said, you know that mate of ours that died a couple of days ago? I saw him yesterday, I had a chat with him. You think, that's a bit bizarre. I'm not sure I believe you about that. Wouldn't you fail to believe them? Wouldn't you think they're having a laugh, having a joke? Of course, having a joke about someone dying is not such a great thing, but even so, it's sort of, would you really believe them? And so it's not surprising that Thomas didn't believe them, he doubted. And yet, lots of people told him, all 11 of his best mates said, we've seen Jesus, he's alive. But Thomas still refused and said, unless I see him myself, unless I put my hands, my fingers in the nails, and my hand in his side where the holes were from his crucifixion, I will not believe. It was like his heart was locked up against believing. And that's the word for that is doubt. Okay, so we're gonna. Can you just hold those? Thank you. Does anyone know how to spell doubt? Yep. D-O-U-B-T. Good. Thank you. There we go. Thank you. Is that on? Is this working now? Okay, so doubt. Okay, so he didn't believe, he refused to believe. And we go on to our slides. There we go, got doubt. Can anyone tell me, what do you see here? What's the first symbol you see? Do you want to say? No? Okay.
It's a lock.
And there's a sense in which Thomas's heart was locked by doubt, that he wouldn't believe in Jesus. In Jesus' resurrection. And actually, a week later, he was in a locked room. And in the locked room, were all the disciples. And then suddenly, Jesus came into the locked room. And Jesus was going to destroy Thomas's doubt. So, can someone destroy the D? Knock over the D. Do you want to come and knock over the D? Levi? Knock it over. Push. Hey, right. Good. So that's the first stage of destroying the doubt. And then what's on the next? What's the symbol on the next one? Yep.
Eyes.
So Thomas said, unless I see him alive, I'm not going to believe it. And then suddenly Jesus was there and he could see him. And not just him seeing him, it wasn't just his vision, but a whole lot of other people were seeing Jesus at the same time. And so this was another devastation to his doubts. So can we have someone else to knock the next one over? Come on, Ewan. Yeah, I do hope to reuse the boxes, so don't. Okay, what's on the next symbol? Yep.
It's an ear.
It's an ear. And what do you do with ears? You listen. And of course, Thomas was refusing to listen to all the people that told him that Jesus was alive, but suddenly there was Jesus in the room, and Jesus was speaking to him. And he's saying things like, peace be with you. Suddenly he could hear Jesus. Again, this was completely destroying his doubt. So next one knocked over. Do you want to knock another one over? Do you want to quickly do it? Knock that over. Go on. Hey. Right, okay. And what's on the next side? Next one. Yep, anyone? Can you see what's on the next one? You want to say? Yep.
Finger?
It's a finger. Jesus said, Thomas has said, unless I touch Jesus and touch the holes in his side, I won't believe it. And there Jesus was saying, touch me and see. It is true, I'm alive. And it showed as well that Jesus wasn't just sort of someone who pretended to die on the cross. They had someone else die instead of him. This showed that Jesus, the resurrected Jesus, was the person that died on the cross. He'd come alive again. So the touch was the final thing that destroyed Thomas's doubt. So do you want to knock that one over? Yeah, go on then, Rachel. thank you. Okay, right. So that was destroyed. And with all that destruction of his doubts, Thomas fell down, and as we saw acted out so brilliantly earlier on, he said, "My Lord and my God." Right. So Thomas's doubt was destroyed, but actually it built up his faith, and he discovered new things and realized new things now that Jesus was alive. In a way, Thomas was someone who may have felt and thought more deeply about these things, which is maybe why he doubted more. But he also realized the full extent of what this really meant. So we're going to rebuild the faith, or revive the faith, bit by bit. What's the first letter of faith? Yep. F, brilliant. Okay, so here we go. Let's put an F up there. And what's on this one? What's the symbol here? There's going to be more children, really.
A king.
A king, yes. And Thomas says to Jesus, "My Lord and my God." And Lord was a way of addressing a king or someone in authority. But actually he's gone beyond that, hasn't he? He's gone to say, "You are God." That's a radical thing to say, isn't it? To say to a human being, "You are God," and yet Jesus has done something that no other human being had done. He'd come back to life. And it could be that Thomas is thinking back to when he'd had a discussion with Jesus only a couple of weeks beforehand. And Jesus said, "Look, I'm going ahead of you to prepare some places in God's house." And Thomas has said, "Well, how can you go there? I don't understand the way you're going. What are you talking about, Jesus?" And Jesus responds by saying, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really knew me, you would know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him, and you have seen him." And Thomas thought, "Oh, Jesus is talking weird stuff again. What's he going on about?" But actually, when he sees him resurrected, he begins to understand what he was going on about. Jesus is God with us. They saw Jesus, and they saw God. And that means that Jesus is different to any other religious leader. You see, Muhammad died, Buddha died, Moses died. Jesus died, but unlike the others, he came alive again. Not just to die again, but to live forevermore. Jesus is different to all other religious leaders, and so only he can truly say, "I am the way. No one comes to the Father except through me." The second thing, what's the second letter in faith? Yeah. A, very good. They teach you well at school. So let's put A up. Okay, there we go. Right, A. So, what's the symbol on this one? Yeah.
An open book.
An open book, yes. This is meant to represent truth. Okay, a bit dubious, I know, but it's hard to think of find a symbol that represents truth. And actually, Thomas began to realize as well that here is Jesus, he brings the truth. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And do you remember back earlier on, before the crucifixion, when Jesus was on trial before Pilate? Pilate says to him, "Oh, you're a king then, are you?" And Jesus says, "Yes, I am a king, but not a king of this world. I come and bring truth. My followers speak the truth." And Pilate responds flippantly, saying, "What is truth?" For him, truth didn't really matter. What mattered was power, and he had the power to kill Jesus. And he did use that power to kill Jesus. I can feel sometimes that in our world, truth doesn't matter. You believe whatever you like. Or you just follow the people that have the most power, who have the most influence in the world, who have the biggest following on social media or whatever. How do we know what is truth? How do we know who to follow with the truth? Well, the resurrection shows us that Jesus is the one who, when power tried to destroy him and shut him up, came and brought truth. And when he appeared to the disciples, he breathed on them the Holy Spirit. And earlier on, he told them about the Holy Spirit. Three times he described it as a spirit of truth. Chapter 16, verse 13, he says, "But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth." The resurrection shows us who we can look to discover the truth that really matters, the truth of life and death, the truth of the world. It's in Jesus. Truth matters, and the resurrection shows us that. Right, next letter. What's the next letter in that, faith? I, okay. Okay, what's the symbol there? Can you see the symbol there? Sorry, yep.
Peace.
Peace, peace man. Okay, so I normally use a dove for peace, but it gets confusing with the spirit, which I was on the last one. So anyway, peace. And Jesus' death and resurrection brings us peace. In a way, his death showed that there was no peace. You know, in a way, his death showed that the troubles of the world will completely overcome you and there's no hope. But his resurrection turns that completely on its head. It says no matter what the troubles of the world may bring, no matter what people might do to you, that's not the final answer. The resurrection has overcome that. And Jesus says again to his disciples beforehand, I've told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you'll have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. And do you know what that symbol also means? Do you know what Winston Churchill used that symbol for? Victory. Victory. We can have peace because Jesus has done the victory over death. And actually, the phrase that Jesus uses, peace be with you, only occurs 5 times in the whole New Testament. 3 of those times are in the passage we read. 1 of those times is in Luke's gospel, describing the appearance of Jesus to his disciples. So pretty much the same incident. The other time is in 1 Peter. We have peace from God because of the resurrection. And you might have noticed that I've kept the T here the whole time. And the T is in the shape of the cross. Jesus in his resurrection isn't getting rid of the cross. He's not reversing the cross. He still bears the marks of the cross. Because the cross was the way that God brings us peace. He took the punishment that we deserve from God so that we could become reconciled with God, we can become friends with God again. We can be forgiven. And when he appears to his disciples, he says to them, you are my brothers. And he says to them, now you can proclaim that people are forgiven through Jesus. They can have peace with God. And so with all our anxiety that we have in our world, with all the anxiety about all the troubles in the world, and there seems to be increasing troubles in our world, doesn't there? As Christians, we can look to the resurrection, that Jesus has defeated the troubles of the world. That our future with God through his forgiveness is secure. We can have peace, even though we may have trouble for a time now, as Peter says. What's the last letter in faith? H, very good, okay. Or H. There we go, right, so. Okay, what's the symbol on that one?
Wine glasses.
Wine glasses, yes. And how much is in the wine glasses?
They're full.
They're full, aren't they? If you filled, I had to alter the image slightly, because if they're filled that high up, it's going to start spilling over, yeah? Now, in Psalm 23, it says that God will welcome you into his house and he'll give you a cup overflowing. Remember that? And if someone gives you a cup overflowing in that culture, basically, if someone visited you, you'd give them a drink, but you'd put the amount of the drink in the drink, in the cup, that you wanted people to stay for. So if you think someone comes up and you think, I only want to talk to you for a few minutes, you give them a small amount at the bottom of the glass. You know, if you happen to have a reasonable length of conversation, you might give them a bit more. But to have your cup overflowing shows that God wants you to be there with him forever. And actually, the last thing that the resurrection brings to us, I want to talk about this morning, is life. At the end of the reading, John says that I've written these things so that you may believe, and by believing, you might have life. Now, in the news this week, there was a story about someone. A guy in Liverpool, he has become the oldest man in the world. Okay? He did that because someone in Venezuela died. But do you know how old he is? He's the oldest man in the world. Anyone want to guess how old he is? 24? No, sorry. Yep. 111, you saw the story. Yes, it's 111, that's correct. I imagine being 111 years old. Apparently, he retired when I was 2 years old. I was younger than Levi here. He retired then. I think he retired a bit early, but even so. His wife sadly died in her 70s, so not massively bad, but not that great. But she died when I was doing my O-levels. And if you don't know what O-levels are, that shows that you're much younger than me. That's an incredible age, isn't it? But when Jesus talks about life, he's not talking about life going on for a long, long time. Becoming a Christian doesn't guarantee that you're going to live for a long time. Well, apparently, statistically, on average, it does mean you're more likely to live longer. What Jesus wants to give us is life to the full. He says back in John chapter 10, the thief comes to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. In other words, Jesus died on the cross. He gave up his life that we might have life. And not just a life sitting in a care home for donkey's years, but life to the full. Life in a beautiful, wonderful relationship with God that goes on forevermore and becomes fuller and fuller as we go beyond death to meet with him in life evermore. Abundant life, as some versions put it. That's what the resurrection brings us. So, are you someone here who, like Thomas, comes and maybe, you know, you quite like coming to church, or you come occasionally, or maybe you're visiting for the first time today? You hang out with, you're prepared to hang out with these weird Christians who believe these strange things, like Thomas carried on hanging out with his friends, even though they started talking about Jesus coming back to life. But you don't really believe it yourself. You doubt it. It seems so weird and beyond imagining. But will you, like Thomas, put yourself in his feet, his shoes? And will you see with him the appearance of Jesus? And have your doubts demolished? And come to understand and have your faith revived so that you understand that in him is God. In him is truth. In him is the way out of anxiety in this life to peace. And in him is life and life to the full, both now but even more so forevermore. Why not let your doubts be destroyed and your faith revived? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the hope, for the wonder of the resurrection. Help any doubts we have about it to be demolished. And may our faith be revived, that we may see you as God, follow your truth, know your peace, and live your life.